Now, last week, if you remember, we looked at Ecclesiastes 3, the Old Testament, and Solomon pursued all these things that he wanted to see. If you took them to their fullest, would they bring happiness, contentment, gratification? And we found out that he said, no, they don't. And then from Ecclesiastes 3, we went to Matthew and we looked at the Beatitudes, the eight things that Jesus tells us, this is what we need to do to be happy. And we compared and contrasted the two. Well, I want you to keep the context of Ecclesiastes 3 in mind, because I'm actually taking, if you want to turn to Ecclesiastes 3 this morning, we're going to compare some New Testament verses, but the body of the message is basically Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 to really 14. But it's a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven, and then you know all the, it's basically 28 things, 14 contrasts that are listed there. But then in verse 11, the key where it says, he has, speaking of God, Solomon says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. So you get your outline, put it next to Ecclesiastes there, and the question that I have is, how can we make the most of our time? We've looked at a couple of weeks on our purpose in life and what God has created us for. And then we looked last week on how can we be happy fulfilling that purpose. What do we pursue? The things of culture and the world, or the things of Christ and the Word? And then today what I want us to look at is, based on that, how can we make the most of the seasons of the time that God gives us as we go through that journey? And do you know that in the world, no country has more time-saving devices than we do as a nation? It's incredible. And do you know that in the world, no country complains more about a lack of time than Americans do? And so I'm not talking about time management or how to effectively get twice the work done in half the amount of time, which is very popular in business. But what I want to talk about this morning in context of Solomon and Ecclesiastes is, how can you and I make the most of our time out of the seasons, or when it seems that things are out of control in our lives? So how do you manage the unmanageable, the unplanned, the irritations, the inconveniences, the delays, the illnesses, the deaths, whatever it might be that just causes your schedule to fly out the window, everything you thought would be the next season of life that you had planned on? And so when there are times, seasons in our life that just seem out of control, what Solomon and what God wants you and I to know is, there is a way that we can make the most out of those times, and regardless of what they look like when we're going through them, God has a plan. So Solomon in Ecclesiastes 3, I like to alliterate, he gives five keys here. Accept, affirm, apply, appreciate, and anticipate. So look at number one in your outline there. Number one, Ecclesiastes 3:1. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. Now, we all know that verse. We've heard that in song. But if you look at number one there, what you have to do with that is accept that God has a purpose in my life. We've been talking about that. But a purpose in my life, in both the good and the bad times in my life, the things I embrace and enjoy and treasure, and the things that I wish I wasn't going through. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, it says. God doesn't do anything by accident. The things that take place in your life, God has a purpose and a plan, and he has built everything that you will experience on this side of life. It's not accidental. It's in God's timetable. Some of it we wish we wouldn't have to go through. We would even question God, God, why me? Why am I having to experience this? But Solomon in this passage gives 28 contrasts, if you will, of things that we may experience, things that we may go through, a cross-section of life. And basically, by default, you have to understand then, well, then life is a series of contrasts, good and bad, expected and unexpected. And so he starts out with something that's totally out of your control. He starts out with your birth. You had no control over when you were born, the date, the time. And then he contrasts it with your death, something that God knows when and has planned, but is completely out of your and my control. And so he says there's a time to enter the world and there's a time to leave the world. That's how Solomon begins this. And he says, what you need to know is that those times are already set. He has set out the days of your life that you will have. And what he wants you to know is that it is out of your control. But regardless of what you go through, the point is, he says, is here in this passage, Solomon is saying there's 14 positives, 14 negatives. They both have a place in your life, the good, the bad, the stuff you want to go through, the stuff you hate to go through. And in Ecclesiastes 3:11, he sums it all up by saying this combination of good, bad, positive, negative. Ecclesiastes 3:11, where he says, everything is appropriate in its time. Now, I just want to take the first half of that verse and say everything is appropriate, and I just want to embrace the good and the pleasant. And if I could program my life, I would just want all the pleasant things, all the good things, all the things that I would want to embrace. I don't want any problems, pain, limitations, sickness, death. God says, though, the good and the bad, they have a place in your life, and he says, there's a plan behind it. So God doesn't say everything unless he means everything. And that's what the scripture says. Does that include financial disaster? Does that include loss of a spouse or a loved one? Does that include divorce? Does that include terminal illness? Does that include loss of a career? God says all of it. God says he will use all of it. The NIV version says, God makes everything beautiful in its time. That's where Ray Stevens misquoted the verse in a very popular song, everything is beautiful in its own way. I would disagree with that. That's not true. Everything is not beautiful, but the Bible says God can make everything beautiful in its time, in his plan, in his season when he wants to bring that to pass. So he can bring good out of bad. He can bring beauty out of ashes. Whatever it is that you're going through, everything isn't beautiful. But Solomon says everything is beautiful in its time when you keep the whole scope of your purpose and his plan for your life in mind. It's all appropriate. It's all a part of the whole plan. God is in control. All of these things are a part of God's plan. And then look at two. Here's the next A. Affirm. Affirm my faith in God in confusing times. So when I'm going through some of these 28 things listed here, some of these things that aren't good, that I don't want to face, when I have to go through those, when there seems to be no answer, why is this happening to me? And I ask God, and I don't seem to get the answer. Why am I having to go through this? Trust God, Solomon says. Ecclesiastes 3:11, this is the Living Bible version. Though God has planted eternity in the hearts of men, even so man cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. So it says here, do you know what? God has put eternity in your heart. Now all that simply means is that you already have this, as a new creature in Christ, you already have this eternity present, this eternal Holy Spirit in your life. You are going to live eternally. But besides that, God has created in you this inborn desire, if you will, or affinity to want to know the future and what's going to happen and what is my life going to be like. And so we have this desire to know and understand the future. And do you realize that is very unique to you? I've got three dogs at home. Do you know the furthest they think towards? The next time they're going to get fed. That is the extent of their desire to know the future. When are you going to feed me again? Their whole life revolves around that. They don't think about eternity. They don't think about retirement. They don't think about what tomorrow is going to bring. Only human beings, only you and I have the ability to to think further out, to want to know what's going to take place. God has put that desire in your heart and my heart to know, if you will, desire to know the future. That's why the verse also says, yet man cannot see ahead. In other words, we have that desire, but we have a limited perspective. We can't see it all. We can't fathom it. We can't understand it. We still have finite minds. And so even though God's put that desire in there, it's like trying to comprehend. If you had an ant standing next to you, looking up to you, it's like that ant in its finite mind trying to comprehend everything about the human being. And it's the same way for us. In our human, finite mind, it is not big enough to understand everything about God and His plan and what He's going to bring to pass. And if you and I could figure out all of God's ways and understand why He does everything He does and why this had to come into my life and why I had to go through that, we would know it all and we wouldn't need God, would we? But the Scripture says, though God has planted eternity in the hearts of men, even so man can't see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. So we only see the current situation, but God sees the end result, the whole scope. In His season, in His time, He will bring good out of it. When we're in the difficult times and it's confusing and we don't understand it, we see this painful process, and God sees this good, if you will, beautiful result. So we see this cocoon, if you will, and God sees this beautiful butterfly that's going to come out of it. In other words, this is just the trial run, and God is making us more and more like Jesus Christ through the good things and through the bad things that come into our life. He sees this transformation, this transformed butterfly out of this cocoon. So even God that can bring beauty out of ashes, even God that will transform you and me through everything that we go through, we look at the wrapping paper, but God looks at the gift inside. We look at the here and now, but God looks at the long-term project that is you, the purpose, the plan, how you make the use of your time, how you look for your contentment and gratification. God looks at what He's doing in your life, and so that's why Solomon says you need to affirm your faith from the beginning to the end, regardless of what's happening in the middle. Don't make snap judgments. Don't do something based on your lack of comprehension or understanding. If it doesn't look fair, if it doesn't look right, it may not be, but you just don't know. John 12:7, Jesus said, you don't realize now what I'm doing, but later on you will understand. Why did He keep that from His disciples at that point? Why does God keep things hidden from us when we're going through this stuff and we ask and it just doesn't seem like we understand or we're getting an answer? Why doesn't He tell us? It's just another reminder that He is God and we are not. You just have to trust. 2 Corinthians 1:9. This happened so that we might learn to trust, not in ourselves, but in God. Sometimes you and I can't figure it out. We must come to the point of saying, when we're going through these things, these seasons in our life, God, I don't know. I don't have a clue how You're going to work this out, how You're going to make good come out of this bad. But I don't have to know. You're in control. I'm a part of Your plan. You created me for a purpose. You have my best interest at heart, and I have to affirm, I have to believe that You're going to use this situation for my glory and my growth and the transformation that You're bringing to pass. During those times, whether good or bad, Solomon says this. Look at number three. Realize three more things. Apply the present time to doing good. So utilize the present time wisely, regardless of the season we're in, regardless of whether we understand it or not. He's saying, don't waste the present. How? Ecclesiastes 3:12, by doing good. There is nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live. So he's saying, think of others, not just of ourselves. The real good life is the life committed to doing good. Bible says, God created us for a life of good works, which He has already prepared for us to do. We looked at that recently. In other words, God didn't put you here on earth just to live for yourself. He says this life is a test, it's a preparation. And if God has created you and He has created me for a life of good works, which He's already prepared in advance for us to do, what He's saying is, if you're not doing that, then reevaluate your life. Proverbs 3:27, whenever you possibly can, do good to those who need it. Do it. Do what you can while you can. There is no better time than now. So you ask yourself this question, regardless of the season in life, what good deed for another person that I know I should do have I been putting off, or I'm just too busy to get around? Because procrastination can rob us of all kinds of rewards of in eternity when God says that we should do good with the time that He gives us now. Look at 4. Appreciate all my time as a gift. Ecclesiastes 3:13. All of us should eat and drink and enjoy what we've worked for. It is God's gift. In other words, your time that you have is God's gift for you. The length of your days, your life, you don't earn the time you get, you are given it. It's all a gift. You wouldn't have any time if God didn't give it to you. And so what do you do with a gift? If you look at your time that way, what would you do with a gift? You enjoy it. You enjoy it. Do you know, this coming up to Christmas time, the hardest thing for me is gifts. My wife still has gifts I've bought her that she doesn't use, like an iron, a vacuum, a mop. But it's so hard for me to buy gifts. I bought my wife a gift certificate and she exchanged it. But God wants you to enjoy the gift of your life. Not endure it, not put up with it, not say, poor me, because what I'm going through. However many years a man may live, Scripture says, let him enjoy them all. In other words, live each moment to the fullest. Timothy says it this way, God richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. So the two things that you are to do with your life, saying here, appreciating all my time as a gift from God, the two things you are to do, be happy and do good. While you're doing good, you get to enjoy life. It actually, age brings that joy. Philippians 2:11. I've learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. The secret of happiness, Paul is saying, is to accept life on the terms that it comes to you, not always longing or hoping for something else, but accept life on the terms that it comes to you. Accept life and enjoy life as God gives it to you. Receive it as a gift. And then Paul goes on to say, I've learned to be content. Contentment is something that you and I have to learn. Do you know it does not come natural to the human condition? It does not come natural. You are not naturally content. We are always wanting something else. The human heart always yearns for that which it doesn't have. It is part of who we are on this side of life, in the flesh, in our sinful nature. And so we have to learn to be content. So we learn to be content in all situations of life, in all seasons of life, whether we see it as good or bad. We can say, this is the season I'm in. I am accepting life as it comes to me. I see it as a gift. It may not be the one I like, but I know it is a season and that God's in control, and in the whole scope of things, He's got a plan. Look at 5. Anticipate giving an account of my time to God. Now, you all know this. One day I will give an account of how we used our time. And so God says, I want you to be prepared for it. I want you to use this side of life for eternity's sake. Be prepared. So Scripture says, God will call the past to account. in Ecclesiastes, God will be the judge of the good and the bad, because a time for every purpose and for every work has been fixed by Him. Romans 14:3. Each of us will give an account of himself or herself to God. So if you are a believer, if you have invited Jesus Christ into your life, you have accepted His gift that He did on the cross, the forgiveness of your sins, as a Christian, you will not be judged for your sins because that has already been taken care of on the cross by Christ. You've already been forgiven, but you will be evaluated on your service in this world, how you made the best use of your time, not your sins, but your service. The evaluation is for the purpose of rewards and eternity. The judgment, the evaluation is for the glory and praise and honor of God, that even though I was a sinful wretch, through His grace and mercy, He still allowed the forgiveness of my sins through Christ's work. So He says, use your time to be happy, to be good, Ephesians 5:15, 16. Live life then with a due sense of responsibility, not as ones who don't know the meaning of life, we've been discussing that, but as those who do. Make the best use of your time. In other words, since you understand the meaning, the purpose of your life, and you see it as a gift, and it's a preparation for eternity, and God is transforming and making you into something beautiful, conforming you to Christ-likeness, He says, live your life with due responsibility, enjoy it and do good, make the best use of the season you're in, live your life, use your time. We all get the same amount. You don't get to choose, but you use it, and once you've chosen how to use that time, you can only spend it once. It is the only non-renewable resource. And so Solomon says, God is going to evaluate you, and He's going to evaluate me as we go through this thing called life and all these different seasons that come to pass. How did we respond to the times in our life that were out of control? Some of the things that we wished we wouldn't have gone through. Do we accept both the good and the bad as a part of God's plan? Do we affirm our faith in Him when we enjoy what He brings to us? And even when we don't enjoy and it seems confusing and we wish we weren't in this season of life, do we apply the present time that we have as a gift to doing good, to helping others? Did we joy and appreciate what we did have? Did we learn that contentment? You see, in Ecclesiastes 3, these 14 positives, these 14 negatives, if you will, if you want to look at them that way that we talked about earlier, these seasons in life, you could ask yourself, where are you right now? When you look at this, all of this that Solomon lists, say, where am I right now? And as I look back, what have I gone through? And can I even see now some good that He's brought out of it? And you can ask yourself, four questions to evaluate. Perhaps a season that you've just gone through, perhaps one that you aren't even aware of yet, or you're in the middle of. Ask these questions. One, what can I learn from this moment? For God in your life, He says, every moment is a teachable moment. So whatever you're going through, whatever it is you're facing, God wants to make you like Christ, and so He says, what can you learn from this moment, this experience? What can I, God, what do you want me to learn in the midst of this? Whether it's good or bad. Second question, what good can I do in this moment? Maybe you're being blessed. Maybe it's a good season and you ask that question, what good can I do for somebody else? Or maybe it's just an opportunity to praise God for all the good and perfect gifts that come from Him. But you can ask yourself, what good can I do in this moment, in this season, to make the most of my time? Third question, what can I enjoy in this moment? How can I express that contentment if I have learned that? Even when things are falling apart, even when things I'm in a confusing time or a bad time, a time I wish I wasn't going through, or even when it's good, regardless, what can I enjoy in this moment? What can I be grateful for? Fourth question, how can I trust God in this moment? Without faith, it is impossible to please God, Scripture tells us. So how can I trust God in this moment? How can trust and dependence and the affirmation of my faith come in the middle of this terrible time that I'm going through, or this wonderful scene that season that God is blessing me with? And if you make Jesus Christ the center of your life, regardless of all the seasons that you go through, then they all become important, they all become valuable, they all become relevant, and there is not a better time than now to reaffirm and appreciate all those things with Christ at the center of your life and perhaps a new season that is about to begin. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, we take these words of Solomon in the midst of his vain searchings of the false things in life and with a reminder that you are in control, that you are in charge, and that all things that you will make beautiful, you will make good in your time for our benefit. And so we pray these five statements this morning, each and every one of us, Father. Help us to accept that you do have a purpose, both in the good times and the bad times of our lives. Help us to affirm our faith, even when we don't understand what's going on. Help us to apply the present time that we have as a gift and make sure we use it to the best of your purpose, which is to do good, not to wait, but to do it now. Help us to appreciate all of our time as a gift from you, Father, and to be grateful for every year, every time a birthday passes, that we have had a year to look back on and you now give us another year to look forward to. Help us to be grateful for those days and those years because only you know when they are done. Help us to learn to be content in whatever situation. Help us to be aware of the fact that we will give an account for how we use that most valuable resource, time, even in the bad seasons and the good seasons of our life. Help us to live with that sense of responsibility. Help us to make the best use of our time. And Holy Spirit, come into our lives in such a way where the reality of your presence, Father, walks with us every step of the way, whether in good or bad, we choose to follow you, Lord. And we thank you for that in your name. Amen.